Jesus, what a friend for sinners, Jesus, lover of my soul.
Welcome to the Unknown Bible, the broadcast ministry of Bible Believers Baptist Church in Corpus Christi, Texas. Join us now for today's Bible study with our pastor, Bevins Welder.
Hallelujah, what a Savior. Hallelujah, what a friend.
Ephesians chapter 5, verses 6 to 14. Ephesians chapter 5, verses 6 to 14. Let's read. Let no man deceive you with vain words, for because of these things cometh the wrath of God upon the children of disobedience. Be not ye therefore partakers with them, for ye were sometimes darkness, but now are ye light in the Lord. Walk as children of light. For the fruit of the Spirit is in all goodness and righteousness and truth, proving what is acceptable unto the Lord, and have no fellowship with the unfruitful words of darkness, but rather reprove them. For it is a shame even to speak of those things which are done of them in secret. But all things that are reproved are made manifest by the light, for whatsoever doth make manifest is light. Wherefore he saith, Awake thou that sleepest, and arise from the dead, and Christ shall give thee light. Now what we're dealing with here in this passage of Scripture is that you and I, when we got saved, became children of light. And consequently, we are in a position, if our light shines, to reprove the works of darkness. And the whole thing concerning this light is a very interesting subject. We are children of the light. When you got saved, Christ called you out of darkness and into light. Look over here in 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 9, and you'll see what I'm talking about. 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 9. But ye are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, and holy nation, a peculiar people, that you should show forth the praise of him who hath called you out of darkness into his marvelous light. Now, how can that be? What is it about darkness and light that was so, before you got saved, that you were actually in darkness, and then when you got saved, you went into the light? What is that calling? What happened there? Well, if you go back to when Jesus Christ came to the earth, as recorded in John's Gospel, you'll see. In John chapter 1, verse 4, the testimony of the Bible is, In him was life, and the life was the light of men. And the light shineth in what? And the light shineth in darkness, and the darkness comprehended it not. So darkness is what is inside of the world. Darkness is what's in the earth. As a matter of fact, when the sun sets, you realize that the world is actually in darkness. It's only in light for a period of time, and actually the universe is dark where God is light. God is light, and in him is no darkness at all. On this side of the universe, everything's dark. So when Jesus Christ came here, he was the light of men. He was the light of the world. As a matter of fact, John chapter 8, verse 12 says that. I am the light of the world. Now the thing that the Lord Jesus Christ gave us that shines light here is his word. You know, he physically is gone, and yet in this darkness we still have light. The entrance of thy words giveth light. It giveth understanding unto the simple. Thy word is a lamp unto my feet, and a light unto my path. So we know that the word of God is a light. Jesus Christ himself is a light, and when you get saved, you're a light. The people who don't get saved stay in darkness. You remember when the Lord Jesus Christ came, and he was that light shining in the darkness? A lot of people rejected him. And the Bible tells you why in John chapter 3, verse 19. This is the condemnation, that light is come into the world, and men loved darkness rather than light because their deeds were evil. So once you get saved, you are in the light. And there are certain things you must do and certain things that you must not do. You see, Jesus came as the light. The Word of God is the light, and you and I are children of light. And consequently, we've got to be very careful to live our lives in such a way that what we say and what we do will shed light in this dark world, that others may come to know Christ or others may realize that what they're doing in darkness is wrong. For instance, as children of light, you and I must not be deceived. We must not be deceived. There is a huge deception campaign going on to make people in the world accept sin as normal and acceptable. And I'm going to tell you something. While it may be normal because it is in our human nature and sin works in our members, it is far from acceptable. Right now, people think, for the most part, that it's okay for children to commit fornication in high school. We left from Texas for a period of time at the end of 1980s and at the first part of the 1990s. We came back to our hometown, which was Beeville at the time. We noticed that something had changed at the high school. They had a new building there. And I noticed that there were young girls going in and out of the building during various times of the day. And so I asked somebody, I said, what is that building that wasn't there before? So that's the daycare center. I said, the daycare center, this is a high school. They don't have anybody out here that's younger than a freshman. I said, oh, he said, preacher, you've been gone too long. We've gone for 3 years. I said, what's happening? He said, a lot of these high school girls are having babies now. I said, really? How's that? Well, they're getting hooked up with these high school boys, and they're having babies. He said, some of these girls, as a matter of fact, have two and some of them even three babies, and many of them, the babies are not don't have the same father. What do they do? They're just fornicating. And it's completely acceptable. As a matter of fact, the school condones it. The laws condone it. They've forced the school, or the school has by option, whichever way it is. I don't exactly remember how all that happened. They decided what they would do is they would build them a daycare center. Hey, man, when we went to high school, if a girl got pregnant like that, that was, that was bad. But today it's perfectly acceptable. Today they teach a curriculum in school that says that homosexuality is perfectly normal for some people. They're born with a genetic disposition for that. That's an alternative lifestyle, and that nobody finds that objectionable. And that if you find that objectionable, you have homophobia. And the boogeyman is going to get you at night. Well, let me tell you something. God says homosexuality is an abomination. And so if the society in which you live says that homosexuality is a perfectly acceptable alternate lifestyle, and that homosexual partners should be able to have marital benefits and rights to adopt children, then you know something? The world is in total darkness and absolutely opposed to God. Because God said it's an abomination. And that when men turn over their bodies to do that which is unseemly with men, and women burn in their lust for women, they have a reprobate mind. In the Old Testament, that sin was worthy of death. They say now that it's perfectly normal and acceptable for you to be covetous, when in fact the Bible says that covetousness is the sin of idolatry. So we have these big signs on the billboards around the shopping center that said, "In God we trust." And yet the shopping centers make a living out of covetousness. You say, what is covetousness? Advertising. They put something on your internet screen. When you go to check the internet, something comes up in the way of an advertisement. You watch a sports thing on television, something comes up on the way of advertisement. And they tell you, you need to have this Jeep. You need to have this car. You need to have this SUV. You need to ride on these kind of tires. And every time they show you that, they got this model in there, scantily dressed, somehow or another connecting the lust of the eye with the purchase of that thing you need. It's the wildest thing in the world, but covetousness is practiced 24 hours a day in every medium that we have in the United States of America. Newspapers, magazines, computers, television, they all practice covetousness. And it's perfectly acceptable, perfectly normal. As a matter of fact, they call that the economy. But let me tell you something. All of those things were mentioned in yesterday's lesson in Ephesians chapter 5, verses 3 to 5. And nothing about any of that kind of sin is perfectly normal and perfectly acceptable with God. Matter of fact, it's all the result of the curse, and God would have nothing to do with it. So he says in verse 6, "Let no man deceive you with vain words." You see all that stuff spread around there? You see all that in that curriculum? You oughtn't to be deceived about that. The first sign of the end times given by the Lord Jesus Christ to his disciples in Matthew chapter 24, verse 4, he said, "Let no man," take heed that no man deceive you. In Galatians chapter 6, verse 7, he said, "Be not deceived. God is not mocked." In Galatians chapter 6, in verse 3, he said that it was possible for a man to deceive himself. If a man think himself to be something when he is nothing, he deceiveth himself. So you can deceive yourself, you can be deceived, or a man can deceive you. And so there is a tremendous amount of deception out there, and as children of the light, God said, "Let no man deceive you with vain words." Now, why? Because of these things cometh the wrath of God upon the children of disobedience. God's going to pour out his wrath on that stuff. And so you get these Christians who have been swept up by this national campaign to turn out a bunch of homosexuals, a bunch of sodomites in this country. And now you have people that were raised up in church, that were saved at a very young age, that were baptized at a very young age, that have gone into homosexuality. Little girls that are now lesbians, raised up in Sunday school and church, won the Bible memory contest and all that other kind, served the Lord, even led people to the Lord Jesus Christ, took a stand in their schools for Jesus Christ. They got deceived, and now they're lesbians. I can remember one time, it's been 26 years ago, the associate pastor of a large Baptist church came out of the closet and said, "I just want y'all all to know I'm a homosexual." Of course, he lost his job immediately. Thank God for a preacher that recognized he didn't have any business in a pulpit. Lost his job immediately. Kind of walked around and said, kind of had his lip pushed out and said, "Well, the love of Jonathan and David surpassed women." Yeah, well, you conveniently left out some of the other Bible, pal. How is it that this preacher that was going around leading souls to the Lord Jesus Christ and pastoring and preaching and building the church and taking confidence of the people, he was deceived? So the very, 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 very first thing that Paul says for you and for me as children of light is, he said, "Buddy, you better watch out. Don't let anybody deceive you. You got to stay in that book." I tell you what, these modern Bibles are perverted. People have gone to these modern Bibles, don't realize that the world has crept in on them, and they think everything's perfectly normal now. You better stay with that old book, and you better stay in that old book, read it every day, and follow what it says, or you're going to get deceived. As children of light, you better be sure. Nobody draws you back into that darkness. All right, the second thing that he says about children of light, he says this, you must not. First of all, you must not be deceived. Secondly, you must not go along with them. Verse 7, "Be not ye therefore partakers with them." Don't go to their parties, don't go to their movies, don't go to their schools, don't go to any of that stuff. You know, there's quite a number of people these days telling you ought to get your kids out of public school. Well, I'm not here going to take any political stance. I'm teaching you some Bible. But I'm going to tell you something. We've got to be careful. I'm concerned about it myself. I've got a kid finished up with high school, getting ready to go off to college. I tell you what, you get concerned about these things. You better keep your eyes open, and if you find out that it's drawing you into a place where they want to be partakers with them, draw the line. These kids that go off to church like that, and then they're allowed by their parents to go off onto a party where they're serving alcohol and sometimes dope. Crazy. Crazy. We've got to be careful about that. Got to watch out for that. Don't go along with them. The world's always trying to attract you and always trying to attract me and always trying to attract our kids away from God. They want to steal your affection for the Lord. Now understand, you can go down the right road with any man or down the right road with any woman as long as he or she stays on the right road. But when they veer off that right road, that's where you've got to leave them. You've got to draw that line. You're supposed to walk on the straight and narrow. I realize that we have liberty in the Holy Ghost, but the road's pretty narrow. And you want to step off there in that Broadway, say, "Well, it's not going to send me to hell." Boy, I'm going to tell you what, it's going to knock your light out. and cause you to walk in darkness, and you'll be deceived. God is not mocked. Whatsoever a man soweth, that shall he also reap. Don't go along with them, not as a child of light. One time a person went off into a bar, started dancing with a fellow, said, "What were you doing here?" "So I was trying to lead you to Jesus." "Said, you're a Christian?" She said, "Yes, I am." Said, "What in the world are you doing in this bar room?" Well, that's a good question. I would ask you the same thing. All right, the third thing that he says about the children of light, you must walk as children of light. He said, now what is that? Well, first thing he says is, be sure you're not deceived. Then the second thing he says is, don't go along with them. Well, if you're not going to be deceived, you're not going to go along with them, then how are you going to have any effect on them? Walk as children of light. Look at verse 8. For ye were sometimes darkness. You used to be. You were sometimes darkness. But now are ye light in the Lord. So what? Walk as children of light. The most disgusting thing in the world, and I did this for a period of time, so if you've got the problem, let me just tell you, I understand completely. But I thank God that He's turned me around and got me out of that thing, and I would suggest the same thing to you. I would not suggest, I would admonish it. I would admonish, I would exhort you to pay attention to this. You see, when I got saved, I began to tell other people about the Lord Jesus Christ, but it wasn't long before I realized they really didn't want to hear what I had to say. And it caused me to be embarrassed. Of course, that's what happens to you when you're a teenager. It caused me to be embarrassed that there were so many people that thought that I was a Jesus freak, that I was silly for believing those things. And you know, I didn't have any foundation in the Bible. I wasn't reading it. So my faith wasn't growing, and as a result, my faith got shattered by all the worldly influence. And so I just let my light go out. You know, the Bible says, let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father which is in heaven. Well, when my light was shining, they weren't glorifying my Father which is in heaven. They were ridiculing Him and ridiculing me. So I got embarrassed about it. I hate to admit that, but I did. And so I wouldn't let my light shine. And consequently, it just went out completely. Now, I'm saved, but I just wasn't living for the Lord and got some backslidden. And then one day the Lord got a hold of me and put me back into the light, got me hooked up to the Bible. And that Bible started to come out of my mouth and come out of my heart and come out of my life. And as I walked as a child of light, hey, they didn't change their attitude. They still were ridiculing me. But as a change, my faith was growing. And so consequently, the light shined bright enough that a few souls got saved. Now, you take a flashlight, for instance, you put a fresh set of batteries in there and turn that thing on, it'll shine bright right at first, won't it? But if you leave that light on for a period of time, what's going to happen to it? It's going to start to get duller and duller and duller until finally the light is going to go out. So what's the remedy? You've got to recharge or replace the batteries. Well, that's what Bible reading and prayer and attendance at church do for you, so that your light can continue to shine, not just as bright as it did when you first got saved, but brighter and brighter and brighter and brighter, so that you have an influence over more people's lives, and they want a desire to either trust Jesus Christ or leave you alone. But one thing about it is, if your light's shining bright, believe me, they're not going to have enough influence on you to draw you back away from the Lord Jesus Christ. So I would say to you, Christian, come out of the closet, turn your light on so people can know where you stand with Christ. Amen? Then he says this, as a child of God, we must protect, be sure that we're not deceived, must not go along with them, you must walk as children of light, and what else? You must manifest the fruit of the Spirit. Verse 9, for the fruit of the Spirit is in all goodness and righteousness and truth. Well, when you go over there to Galatians chapter 5, you see the fruit of the Spirit, love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, temperance. Let me tell you something. The world wants all of those things. They just don't want it on Christ's terms. They'll pay big money to go to a psychologist before they'll ever get on their knees and trust the Lord Jesus Christ as their Savior. I'm serious. You need to trust Christ as your Savior. So what good would it do? I'll tell you what good it'll do. You trust Jesus Christ as your Savior and allow the fruit of the Spirit to come in there, you'll have the love you've been looking for in all the wrong places, as the song goes. You'll have the peace you need that Prozac can't supply. You'll have the joy that is only temporary with the way the world dishes out happiness and costs you more than you were wanting to pay and keeps you longer than you were wanting to stay to give it to you. And you'll have that temperance, that self-control that you seem to lack, and all those other things. Because you see, in the light, you have the fruit of the Spirit, and there's goodness. There's no goodness in a man without Christ. There's righteousness, which you can't produce. Christ is the only righteousness that you and I have, and His righteousness must come forth. And truth, Jesus Christ said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. Sanctify them through thy word. Thy word is truth. You see, apart from the Lord Jesus Christ, goodness, righteousness, and truth do not exist. In order to have that, you must manifest the fruit of the Spirit, because those are the things that the world really craves. The world wants self-control. They want temperance. They want goodness. They want love. They want joy. They want peace. But if they don't see it in you and you profess to be a Christian, then how in the world are they ever going to know that it's only in Jesus Christ that you can have those things? So you must shine. They must see that. And of course, as you're manifesting the fruit of the Spirit, you're going to be happy. But you got to remember something. The more light you produce, the more they see that stuff in you, the more they're going to be inclined to ridicule you. You're going to suffer some for Christ's sake. Because he that is upright in the way is abomination to the wicked. They don't like to see it. It reproves their sin. All right, the next thing you've got to do as a child of light is you've got to prove what is acceptable. Look at verse 10. Proving what is acceptable to whom? Unto the Lord. Right now, the world wants you to find what is acceptable to them. They call that fashion. They call that fashion. So you got to dress like the world. You got to act like the world. You got to talk like the world. You got to make up like the world. You got to wear your hair like the world. World, 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 world. Does God find any of that stuff acceptable? You have to ask yourself that question. You said, I don't know. Well, read the Bible and find out what God does say is acceptable. Because that's what he said you've got to do. Proving what is acceptable not to you or to your friends or to your buddies, but what is acceptable to the Lord. And this is difficult. If you're a parent raising children, this is difficult because they find what the world style is and they don't want to look like a frump, so they want to dress like that. And you constantly have that concern about what is acceptable to the Lord. In 1 Thessalonians 5:21, he said, prove all things, hold fast that which is good. Well, how are you going to prove it? Get the Bible out and see what God says. Listen, if a person gets saved that's not dressed right, as an example, they don't talk right, or whatever, they don't exercise right, don't eat right, don't manifest those things that are acceptable to God, I guarantee if they'll read the Bible and really seek to do those things that please God based upon what they are reading, and if they're reading every day, I tell you within about 6 months you're going to see some drastic changes. Hair's going to change. Styles of dress going to change. Attitude's going to change. Motives are going to change. Attitudes are going to change. A lot of things are going to change. Why? Because they're going to start learning what's acceptable to God and they want to please God. What else must you do as a child of light? Well, you've got to reprove the works of darkness, which won't be any difficulty, really. Because by that I mean if you're just out there shining as a light, saying those things and proving those things that are acceptable, the people in darkness are going to recognize it right away. Look at verse 11, 12, 13. Have no fellowship with the unfruitful works of darkness, but rather reprove them. For it is a shame even to speak of those things which are done of them in secret. But all things that are reproved are made manifest by the light, for whatsoever doth make manifest is light. Well, I'll tell you something, then that means you're going to have to preach against this stuff. Preach against sin. Street preaching is an excellent way to do that. We used to do an awful lot of that earlier on in the ministry. Probably ought to get back out there again. And we used to get a whole lot of that done. And I'll tell you what it is. Street preaching is great for reproving sin because it agitates people and lets them know that what they're doing is not acceptable to God. Now, you're not doing it to show off, and you certainly want them to get saved. But the Holy Spirit did come into the world to reprove the world of sin, of righteousness, and of judgment. So pointing out their sins is certainly acceptable with God. You get a Bible out and show them their sin. I remember one time a person in a Catholic church was asking me to tell them something that God said about the images that were in the church. And so I began. Got to the very first verse, what God had to say about images. And you know what they said? Don't show that to me anymore. What happened? They got under conviction immediately upon the first verse. Say, how in the world is that possible? Well, that's what the Bible does. It reproves the works of darkness. Listen, they didn't like Jesus Christ. They crucified him. So don't think they're going to like his Bible. That's one of the surest fire ways you know that modern Bibles are wrong, because there's so many of them trying to challenge the authority of the King James Bible. In the same way there were so many Pharisees that tried to challenge the authority of the Lord Jesus Christ, in the way there were so many false prophets in Ahab's day that testified against Micaiah. Micaiah was the only witness that was right. Jesus Christ was the only witness that was right. The disciples forsook him. Paul said at my first answer, no man stood with me. The King James Bible stands alone in this matter. The rest of them are over there trying to knock out the light. Can't knock out the light. Not if you keep using it. Not if you keep believing it. Not if you keep reading it. Not if you keep preaching it. Let me tell you something. He says here in verse 12, it's a shame even to speak of those things which are done of them in secret. The unfortunate thing is, there's nothing secret anymore. You turn on the television, talk shows are talking about the most disgusting things imaginable. Sitcoms are displaying the most disgusting things imaginable. And if they don't cover it, the movies do. There's nothing that Hollywood is putting out now that's not totally disgusting and revealing all of the secrets of the most disgusting things that people do in darkness. And you know, I want to ask you something. How is it, if you're really professing to be a Bible believer and really professing to be a Christian, how is it that you can pay money to watch that stuff? You give money to the cable company so you can watch that stuff. You go to the movie theater and give them money so you can watch that stuff. You've got the morals of an alley cat. Because Paul said, if you're a child of light, it is a shame even to speak of those things which are done of them in secret, and you find there's nothing shameful at all paying money to go watch what they do in secret. Can I get an amen right there? Is there anybody that say, you know what, preacher, you're right, amen? How about just keep a good sense of humor and recognize that what you just heard from the Bible is so? Don't fight against God. Don't say, well, he's a radical preacher. I'm just telling you what Paul said and making a little application. You've got to wake up. That's what he said. Wherefore he saith, awake, thou that sleepest, and arise from the dead, and Christ shall give thee light. Wake up. This stuff is going on around you, and it is corrupting your mind. It is high time to awake out of sleep. For our salvation is nearer than when we believed. Cast off the works of darkness and put on the armor of light. Walk honestly as in the day. Put on the Lord Jesus Christ and make no provision for the flesh to fulfill the lust thereof. It's disgusting. You're a child of light, not a child of the darkness.
You have been listening to The Unknown Bible, the radio ministry of Bible Believers Baptist Church in Corpus Christi, Texas. For information about our church, go to our church website at www.my3bc.com. That's my3bc.com. If you would like to contact us by telephone, our number is 361-241-6100. Bible Believers Baptist Church is a Bible-believing church located at 1701 Rand Morgan Road. If you are not currently a member of a Bible-believing church and you are looking for a church with an uncompromising stand on the words of God, come visit with us this Sunday or Wednesday. We would love to see you.
Hallelujah.